Shalom, we are still in Aleph of Tanya definitions, and we're finishing up Achdus Hashem. Okay, we've got two more moshalim to help us internalize Achdus Hashem a little bit more. We've spoken about the Inyan of Koyach HaPoel B'Nifal, the idea of the energy. Yeah, when I was showing you how when I throw my phone up in the air, all you're seeing is really my energy, and the phone is revealing my energy. So too in the world, the whole world, you're just seeing. If it wasn't for Hashem causing it to be every second, yeah, then there would be nothing. So if you can, that means all there is Hashem. That's all there is Ratzon and Hashem. Everything else is, and modern physics also agrees with that. Modern physics says that 99.999999999 6, I think it's something like that, percent is empty space. The amount of actual chomer in the world, and they're off by that much because the actual amount of chomer in the world is FS. Yeah, so they think there's a teeny weeny weeny little smidge. Yeah, but that's they've gotten pretty close, you know, that's not bad. So that's what we mean by there is nothing. It's just a big, it's like, you know, like the picture on the screen. What's that? So there's two more mashalim that we want to speak about. The first one is very easy and a very good one to think about is the idea of a rock. Okay, you have a big smooth rock. Yeah. Now you take an awl, yeah, in Yana de Yoma. You take a matseach, I think it's called, yeah, and your choikek, you scratch out your name in the rock, okay? So you scratch out Boch, yeah, Boch in the rock. You've scratched that out. Now, what did you add to the rock? Let me tell you. In the beginning, there was just the rock, yeah. Now you've scratched your name into the rock. Did anything change? Is there anything more than the rock?
It's still just a rock.
There's nothing more than a rock. You didn't add anything to the rock, Bichlal. This is a good analogy for creation. Now, a Russia, yeah. It's actually interesting. It's a really good analogy in this sense because the more you scratch out from the rock, the more you see the name, Boch, whatever the name is, yeah? So that means the less rock there is, the more prominent the name. So in this sense, the tzaddik would be just very slightly etched in. You'll just see Moshe. Go like that, and you could just barely see Moshe. That's the inyan of a really big tzaddik. And a big Russia, you see it scratched all the way deep into the rock. That's the idea. Like the less rock, the more mensch. The less mensch, the more rock. The rock is Hashem in the moshul. You get it? It's a very cute. It's a nice moshul. It's cute. It's deep, but that's the idea is the more somebody feels that they are an independent metzias, the more of the rock is missing. Meaning the less Hashem there is there. Like the big tzaddikim, they don't see themselves as like anything unto themselves. Not that they think of themselves as nothing and schleppy and rubbish, and they don't think of themselves like that at all. That's such a misconception to think that a tzaddik thinks he's a big Russia and like the lowest whatever. He doesn't think about himself. He's not a man da'ama. He's not a topic of conversation. He's so flimsy in his he's he views himself as a cog in a machine, in a.
Isn't he identifying himself as the rock, as the rock? He wants more rock.
Well, but in the real moshul, it's not just a rock; it's a massive machine, and everyone there's all these cogs in the machine. It's like there's fancy watches like Breitling sometimes have it. You know that they're called a complex. You know what I'm talking about? Where you see all the when you turn it around, you see all the cogs, millions and millions of little cogs. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Is it called a complex watch?
You either have what you're talking about, the skeleton back, so you can see through,
Yeah.
or a complication. A complication is anything more than just the time.
Okay, for maybe I think about the scale. The point is that when you look at the back of one of these watches, yeah, or the front, I don't, I've seen it at the front as well. You see all the cogs and the this and that, yeah. Now, tell me, what would happen if you removed one of those cogs, even a small one? I don't think anything would work. So that's Suddick views himself as that. I'm a cog in a machine, but it's important. Like I'm a cog. Mama, that's important because if I wasn't there, the whole thing would break down. But at the end of the day, I'm just a cog. I'm not anything irrelevant. I'm not relevant unto myself. That's the mindset of a tzaddik. So that's the idea. I also just as a my own little thought, a little chiddush is that's the idea on Shabbos. See, in the chol, you do a big. The halacha is that when you're going to eat bread, you actually meant a cut. Nearly half the loaf, yeah? Whereas on Shabbos, you're just meant to do a little scratch, a teeny little, just a siman ba'alma. It's just a little scratch. I thought that's a nice, that hints to this idea of that on Shabbos, we're not dealing with a deep, scratched out furrow. Everything is, it's the shame of Shem as opposed to the shame of Shmuel. It's the shame of Shem. So we're just, that was just a little cute remez. Okay. And now the final moshul that for me is possibly the most powerful moshul. Well, it's for Achdus Hashem is the dreaming moshul, and this isn't a moshul that I've heard in Jewish sources. This is actually a moshul that I heard from a guy called Rupert Spira or Spira. I don't know how you pronounce his name. Who's definitely someone to look up. Who's got very deep sagas into Achdus Hashem, and. This is a very, this is very, a very beautiful way of understanding the non-dual, the non-dual concept of this world. And I just want to preface this by saying that, from my knowledge and learning, the one, the word that I think, and I spent a lot of time, especially lately, researching like, Far Eastern, like especially Hinduism. Yeah, I read a lot. I'm read a lot of Hinduism in the bathroom, and from what I understand from the reading that I've done, Hinduism is absolutely a monotheistic religion. Just I think a lot of people, just because you're dealing with a lot of simple, illiterate, peasant people, and they talk about different like names of God, they've turned them into deities. So I think on a there is a lot of mistaken like. Idol worship, like stun, but the actual religion, I think, is absolutely a monotheistic religion, meaning that God is one. So, but I do want to stress that the one word that basically differentiates the Eastern religions from Yiddishkeit and from the Torah is the word dream. In all of my learning in Yiddishkeit, I've never seen anyone refer to this world as a dream. No tzaddik I ever heard refer to this world as a dream. They refer to this world as a thought, as speech, as a ratzon, as a game, so to speak, but not like a playing, like as some kind of, I don't know, like some kind of game. Never have I seen it referred to as a dream. And I think the point is that a dream smacks of mikra, of happenstance. Like dream, how irrelevant are dreams? They're so like out of control. Like they're so like you've got no control over your dreams, you feel like, yeah. So that's and the so the actual dream becomes kind of insubstantial. Whereas as Yidden, we do not see it like that at all. This world is absolutely substantial, yet it's just not separate from God. And and one of the ramifications of having a very substantial world is that we keep kashrus. and we keep Taras and Mishpacha, and we keep Shmir Sanayim, and we keep Tefillin, and we keep Shatnez, and we keep all these halachas that are of this world. If this world is just a dream, then my chpatli, who cares? Who cares? So we don't say that. We don't say that this world is a dream. This world is a manifestation of God. This world is as real. Now, oh, don't jump on me before I finish this statement. This world is as real as God. Yeah, but what's the word? Not modify that. What's the word? Qualify that. This world is as real as God, yeah, but qualified by saying that it has no independent reality whatsoever. Whatsoever at all. So when you say it's as real as God, meaning the mitzvahs are, we've called them the Ivrin de Malka. They're the limbs of the king. You can't separate the king from his body. The body is a manifestation of the king. So this world is a manifestation of God. This world is referred to as the garments, so to speak, of the king. The mitzvahs are the body of the king, and the actual world are the garments of the king. And the garments express who the king is. In fact, you wouldn't know that he was a king if it wasn't for what he's wearing. So you're right, the clothes aren't the king, but they are a manifestation of the king. So in that sense, they're as real as the king. You with me? It's not understanding a little bit. The mitzvahs are the body of the king. The physicality of this world is considered as the garments of the king, the clothing of the king. So they're not the king, yeah, but they are. They really are. They're a manifestation of the king. The fact is, like Yitzi, look at the clothes that you wear, the wardrobe that you have. Let's say you, I know your wife likes to choose some of your clothes, yeah? But let's say that you and your wife are one anyway, yeah? And you are, Baruch Hashem. So you're wearing these clothes, and there's a reason why you have a grey shirt and not a pink shirt with blue stripes. Yeah, like I do. Now, I'm just saying there's a reason for the kind of clothes that you have. The clothes that you're wearing are an expression of who you are. So are they less real than you? Well, not really. They are me. They're not me. They're my clothes. But they're an expression of me, and I wear these clothes as opposed to these clothes because that's me and that's not me. So that's how real the world is. The world is really real. It's real in context of Hashem. It doesn't have any reality unto itself, but in context of Hashem, it's really, really real. And that's why we take it so seriously. That's why we take this world so seriously. So I just wanted to predicate what I'm about to say is that we do not say that this world is a dream. That said, let me just give you a beautiful moshul to understand a little bit into Ratzonish, into Yichud Hashem. I'm sure we said this before. We've definitely said this before, but I'll say it again. Okay, Michael, you are in LA, yeah? And you go to bed. And you fall asleep in your bed in LA, and you have a dream that you are Chaim in Yerushalayim. Okay? You've got a different body. You're 6 foot 8 and whatever you are, and you're a different person, yeah? And you're in Yerushalayim. But it's just a dream. Really, you're Michael in LA. But in your dream, you're Chaim in Yerushalayim. Now, in your mind is Chaim and all of Yerushalayim as well. In your dream, you can look around and see, you can see all of Yerushalayim. And you're this guy walking through Yerushalayim. But you're not. You're in bed in LA. So where is Chaim and Yerushalayim? The dream. Where is this dream taking place?
In my mind.
in the oneness of your mind. It's all one, but in your mind, it's broken up into subject and object. There's the subject, Chaim, and then there's the object, Yerushalayim. But it's all taking place in your one mind. There's nothing more. It's like a picture on a screen. It's like a picture on a screen. It takes on an appearance. The reason it's only taking on the appearance of duality to Chaim, the character, your avatar in Yerushalayim. But to you, the dreamer, and Eliba de Emes, in truth, there is no Chaim and Yerushalayim. There's just the fabric of your mind. Now that's nice, yeah. That's a nice. Then we get an idea. We get that's something to really meditate on. But so, how comes there could be Chaim and Shloimi in Yerushalayim? Now we don't do this. I've never done this. I don't, maybe one of you has. Tell me if you have. Have you ever had a dream where you were two people simultaneously? I've never had such a dream. You could imagine, though, that it could actually take place. It could. Why not? You know, why couldn't it? Yeah. So that's what this world is in a sense. It is the Ribbono Shel Olam dreaming. Again, it's not a dream at all. You can call it thinking. It's just easier to say dreaming right now. It's an intentional dream, though. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam dreaming the whole of Olam Hazeh. And there's conscious souls, so to speak, that are seeing. It's like instead of there just being Chaim in Yerushalayim, there's Chaim and Sarah and Naphtali, v'chule v'chule. But just like in your mind, in your dream, there was just Chaim in Yerushalayim. On the bigger, when the bigger thing, there's the Yerushalayim of the dream, but then there's all the different avatars in the dream. But they are still all taking place in the mind of the one dreamer, who's not really a dreamer. That gives you a really good fit, a really good understand, some kind of grasp into Achdus Hashem. Yeah, I mean, very. I mean, well, everything that we've said, all these like technical mashalim, they all more or less are contained within the idea of a screen. Yeah, the screen never changes. There's nothing more ever than just the screen. But within the screen, there's the illusion, so to speak, of endless stuff, endless things, endless people, endless things. But there's only just the screen. Okay. The more, like we spoke about last week, the more we can get real on this. I mean, yeah, see, this is what I was talking about having to deal with this crazy thing in the airport today. Is the more you get to understand that Ein Od Milvado, the more real that becomes to you, which means the less real you become to yourself, which will mean that you'll start to become a big tzaddik, because, well, how can I go against Ratzon Hashem? Because that's all there is. Yeah, the more these ideas become real to you, the more Achdus Hashem becomes real to you. Not only the bigger tzaddik do you become, but the easier the world is to deal with everything. Because again, you like we said, you see, whether you're on the plane to the Bahamas, or whether you're stuck at the airport and they won't let you on the plane to the Bahamas, what changed? If all there is Ratzon Hashem. Just the graphics changed. That's it. Just the graphics changed. Nothing else. Same avoider. And it makes the whole world, when you get, you know, the more cognizant you get of this, the more you can handle the world, really. Until you, if you get ultimately cognizant of it, there's nothing that could throw you off. A man who is ultimately bound up in Achdus Hashem could not be stared by anything. Ephes. Nothing would stare him in any way, shape, or form. Nothing. That's the Mishnah, is it, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Gamliel, in the beginning of Brochas? I think it's Rabbi Gamliel when he got married, and it said that he didn't. Is it Rabbi Gamliel? Just checking. He got married, and he said that he didn't have to. He didn't have to. One minute. He didn't have to say Kriya Shema. He didn't have to say Kriya Shema because he just got married. And then he said, no, Chas V'Shalom, I'm not going to say Kriya Shema. Pasim Patim Kriya Shema. 1 minute. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Rabbi Gamliel. So it says, Chasim Patim Kriya Shema, Belaila Rishon. Ad Motzi Shabbos. So a chassan who gets married, he's pater from Kriya Shema on the first night until Motzi Shabbos. Im lo yasa maisa, if he wasn't with his wife yet. Maisa, there's a maisa, Rabban Gamliel. Shakar belaila harishon shenaseh. He read Kriya Shema on the night of his chasna. Amuloy tamidav. The tamidim said to him, Yeah, loy lemadatanu mabeinu shachasan patam kriya shema b'layla harishon. Didn't you teach us that a chasan's pater from kriya shema b'layla harishon? Why are you saying kriya shema? Amalehen, he said to them, Eini shomer lechem. I'm not listening to you. Levata memenu malchus shemaim afilu sha'achas. To be mevata malchus shemaim even 1 moment. The next Mishnah says, Rachatz b'layla harishon shemesa ishtoi. Now, how many years later is this? Yeah, that when he washed when his wife died, yeah, on the first night after she died. Amuloy tamidav that his tamidim said to him, Lo lamadatanu rabbeinu sha'avo asol lilchotz. Didn't you teach us that a mourner is forbidden to wash? I'm not like everybody else. I'm an istinis. I'm finicky, whatever you would call that. Okay, the panemius of that is that Rabban Gamliel, he was unmoved on the ultimate level of the difference between getting married and going to his wife's levaya. On the most inner level, I know it sounds like a difficult thing to say, but that is the ultimate level of tzidkus. The ultimate level of tzidkus is everything is the same. Now the question is, what's the halacha? How do I deal with that? Okay, that's going to be uncomfortable for a lot of people to hear, but I think you understand the point. Yeah, that's from Mamash from the Mishnah. Yeah. Okay, well, that is, for all intents and purposes, that's for us, Achdus Hashem. Achdus V'Yichud Hashem, we could go on for a lot much longer, but now we're moving into Achorayim. Yeah, Achorayim, Aleph, Ches, Vav, Resh, Yud, Yud, Mem. What does it mean, Achorayim? So Achorayim is referring to another term for Achorayim. Can anyone give me two other terms for Achorayim?
What is Acharam? You mean like
Achorayim,
anything but Hashem?
back.
Oh, back.
That one, Achor means the back. Elohim Acherim, other gods, means back. Achorayim is the same as Klipa and Sitra Achra. But what Achorayim is again, when you've got synonymous terms in Yiddishkeit, in Torah, you can have terms that are mamash synonymous, like Sitra Achra and Klipa are mamash referring to the same phenomenon, but they are revealing to you a different aspect of each thing. Okay? So Achorayim is the same as Klipa and Sitra Achra. What Achorayim is referring to is Hashem's relationship to this stuff. What is this stuff? It's basically his waste. It's living off his waste. Meaning the Acharayim coming from the back, from the backside, what comes from the backside is excrement, is tsoya. But you know that from tsoya, flies and mosquitoes and all like icky creatures live off that, yeah. So there is an element of kedusha left in from the food in the tsoya, and that gives life to the other side. So What energy is the other side getting from Hashem? He's getting the waste product. That is the energy that the other side, that everything that is not Kadosh in this world is receiving its energy in the moshul from the backside of Hashem. That's the idea of acharaya, meaning it's getting it's Hashem's what's called his external will, yeah, his ratzon chitzoni, meaning that he doesn't want this stuff for him for itself. Everything that's acharaya, sitra, achra kli, but all of that is considered a means to an end, and the end, as we know, is to give yid and bechira. That's why klipa and bechira is the same gematria. But the purpose of Acharayim, the purpose of Elohim Acharim, the purpose of Avodah Zarah, it's all the same term. The purpose of Sitra Achra, of Klipa, is it's all a means to an end. And that's symbolized by going to the bathroom, meaning you're expelling this. See, the idea of food, yeah? Food contains energy that you need to live, yeah? When you go to the bathroom, what you're letting out is the kalim that energy was contained in. And it comes out with a little bit of kedusha left. And that is what the other side is yonek from, is sustained by. Okay? That's the inyan of acharayim. And then we can finish off with Elohim Acherim, and then next week we'll talk about Ish as well. Elohim Acherim, other gods, is a big question because we talk about Elohim Acherim the whole time in Torah, but we just spent the past 3 hours talking about how Einod Milvado, there's just God. So what do you mean other gods? There is no other gods. There's just Hashem. So what's Elohim Acherim? What is that other gods? So other gods are introduced by us, meaning other gods are not real. We make other gods. I'm just learning right now in the chinuch. Yitzi, we're learning in the chinuch about making an idol, yeah? So that's what Elohim Acherim is. Another god means that we give something independent power. Like that was Rav Sternbach put out. Do you see that video that Rav Sternbach put out about, don't get excited about Donald Trump? He's not the savior. Yeah. Thinking that Donald Trump can do something by himself is that's making Elohim Acherim. Elohim Acherim means that there is something out there that is independent, that has independent power of God, like the economy. Yeah. If you think that the economy has some kind of independence, then you've made an Elohim Acherim out of the economy or the weather. But the most obvious, see, this is a good moshul. A guy opens his shop, a guy has a shop, yeah, and a Jewish guy, and you say to him, why are you open on Saturday? It's Shabbos, you should be resting. Yeah, you're not allowed to have your shop open on Shabbos. She said, listen, I would really like to not open my shop on Shabbos. I love Shabbos. I want to sit with my family on a swings mirrors. I want to eat nice food. I want to even go to shul. But listen, I got a family to feed, and Saturday is the busiest day of the week. I can't not work on Saturday. I wish it wasn't the case, but unfortunately, I just can't give this up. It would be not be fair to my family, and I don't know what would be if I did that. He has Elohim Acherim in his life. See, he believes that there's this God called the God of Parnassah, and the way you appease the God of Parnassah, yeah, the way you pray to the God of Parnassah. Is one of the methods of worshiping the God of Parnassah is by opening your shop on Shabbos. That's one of the methods that is necessary that the God of Parnassah demands. If you want the God of Parnassah to give you what you need, then you have to open your shop on Shabbos. Now, I know that God doesn't like that, and ideally I wouldn't do this, but look, what can I do? There's also the God of Parnassa that I have to take into account. That's Elohim Acherim. I was just making fun of the matzah. You're allowed to make fun of Avodah Zarah. So that's Elohim Acherim. And then there's the other Elohim Acherim, which is just as more prevalent, is the cheeseburger. The cheeseburger God. Yeah? The guy's eating the cheeseburger. You say to him, "Why are you eating the cheeseburger?" And he's like, "It's just too delicious. But I can't not eat that. I wish I would rather not eat that. I feel guilty that I'm eating it, yeah, but I would rather not eat it." So you're like, "So why are you eating it? Where's the Elohim Acherim there? Who are you obeying? Who's the Elohim Acherim that the person's obeying when they're eating the cheeseburger? Who are they worshipping?" They're worshipping their own tiver, their own desire for pleasure. That's the most common, maybe even the only real Elohim Acherim. But that's definitely the most common other God that we introduce, is the fact that it's giving me pleasure. Every time a person clicks that button on the computer and looks at the filth that people look at, yeah, he has brought in he is worshipping other gods in the way of himself. His tiver to see these things, which are neged ratzon Hashem. Hashem does not want us looking at these filthy things. Yeah. If we're looking at these filthy things, that's worshipping Elohim Acherim. How do you worship that God in that sense of pleasure inside you that's saying, "Look, look, 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 look"? How do you worship it? By going online and opening up that website. Just like the guy is worshipping the God of Parnassah by opening his shop on Shabbos. We are worshipping the God of Tiver by clicking on that link on the computer and looking at the things that we shouldn't be looking at. Yeah, it's the same mechanism, same thing. That's Elohim Acherim. So there is no Elohim Acherim. It's that we create Elohim Acherim. That's what Elohim Acherim means. Elohim Acherim means independent powers. That's what an Elohim is something with a power. That's why a judge is called Elohim. Judges are called Elohim because judges have they have apparent power. They can put you in prison, or they can, administer lashes, etc. Yeah, so they have some kind of power. So that's why they're called Elohim. That's the Inyan of Elohim when we're not talking about Hashem, which is Elohim. But Elohim Acherim is this idea of attributing independent power to something else, and that is that. And next week, Bezrat Hashem, we will get into the Inyan of what I've called Ish Yisrael, which means a Jew, and talk about the different levels of Jew. That will be very interesting. We'll get clear on Samit Beinoni in Russia, Bezrat Hashem. Okay. Shkoyach.